most of us know the story here in John 3. Nicodemus comes to speak to the Lord, and he's introduced in verse number 1 as a Pharisee named Nicodemus. And this conversation with the Lord would culminate with, of course, the Lord teaching in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." See, what did Nicodemus do? Well, I and most anyone else that studies the Bible, and probably you too, believe Nicodemus got saved. I don't know exactly when he got saved, but he spoke up. It might have been at this event, but he spoke up when the Pharisees later on would be speaking about going and arresting Jesus and how what he was saying wasn't true. And he spoke up and said, "Maybe you guys should listen," which took some boldness to do that. And then after the Lord Jesus died, when Joseph went and talked to Pilate about the body, it was Nicodemus that went and helped Joseph and took the body of the Lord Jesus Christ down from the cross and took care of the body and anointed it with the spices, which basically cost him, if you know the Jews and their customs, that cost him his job. And you weren't going to do that and get away with it to take care of that. And so I believe he did get saved. That's my personal thought. I can't show you a verse in the scripture where he did, but I can show you fruit, right? And show that he did. And that's really all we ever have to go with. The Bible says, "By their fruits ye shall know them." Amen. So what happened with Nicodemus? I want to kind of just take a step back. I titled the sermon this morning, "Nicodemus' Issue." And just want to see real quick what Nicodemus did and what took place that brought him to that point. Let's read verse number 1 in John chapter 3. It says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again." Let's pray. God, I pray that, Lord, you just teach us your word this morning. I pray that, Lord, you just, lift up your Son today. I pray he would be exalted and men would be drawn. Father, I pray that, Lord, I would be hidden. I pray that my thoughts, words, Lord, in everything, I just surrender myself to you, and I pray that I be hidden, God, and you glorified. Lord, it's my earnest desire that if anyone's here today that's not saved, that they be saved. That, God, that every believer today would be strengthened through the Word of God. Lord, help us do these things. In your name I pray. Amen. I want you to notice a couple things. First of all, I want you to consider the searching of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was searching. He's looking for answers. That's why he met the Lord. And he has this conversation that we read with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord gives him some answers. The Lord tells him that he must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. He tells him that you're born of water, but you must also be born of the Spirit. He gives him an illustration in verse number 14, that as Moses lifted up the serpent, you all remember that story, right? Whenever all the children of Israel had sinned and murmured and complained and just gone against the Lord, God sent fiery serpents. I remember as a kid, I had to have been 5 years old, because I remember that my dad was pastoring and started a church in Dayton. I remember sitting in the basement of that church, and I remember seeing the little flash card of that brazen serpent and all these people at the foot, like in agony, and the snakes everywhere. And from that point on, I've hated snakes. I could tell you that whole picture. It burned at 5 years old in my head. But the point was this, that God was punishing them because of their sin, and the very thing that was afflicting them was held up in front of them, and all they had to do is believe and look. And as the song goes, look and live. Amen? And they just had to look in faith, believing what God had said. And he gives that illustration, and him being a Pharisee, Nicodemus would have known that story very well. And the Lord told him, he said, you remember the story as Moses lifted a serpent in verse 14 in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Just as that snake was lifted up, so the Son of Man, Nicodemus, so I, the Son of God, will be lifted up on that cross, and I will pay for the sins of the world. I will become the very thing that was bringing death to all of us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And all we must do is look and live. By faith, believe that he did die for our sins, that we are sinners, and that Christ paid for that. He went on to say in verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We love that scripture. Probably the most popular scripture, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We all know it. We all have it memorized except Brother Joshua. He taught it to the kids at Bible Club wrong. But other than that, right? I was looking at the thing he was holding up. I was like, that's not right. That's all right. Translation issue, I'm sure. Russia. All right. But we love this scripture. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. All right. Here, Nicodemus is looking for answers. And praise God, if you're looking for answers, Jesus has them. And he did with him too. What was his questions back at the beginning of that chapter? He's wondering who Jesus is. Verse number 2, he says, he calls him Rabbi. We know that thou art a teacher. You know that you come from God. No man can do these things except to be sent from God. Who are you? He was intrigued by the Lord. Now listen, if we're ever going to go to heaven, and I hope you know you're going to heaven. But if you're going to go to heaven, if you know you're going to heaven, it's because you found out who Jesus is. Praise the Lord. He is the Son of God. He is eternal. Jesus was never created. He always is, always was, always shall be. In the beginning was the Word. He wasn't created. He was already there. Amen? The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 1 that God said, let us make man in our image. What is going on? God was there, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus has always been. He is the Son of God. He is perfect. He is holy. He is righteous. He is without sin. He is everything. Amen? He is our Savior. He is the one. He is the Christ. He is the one that is promised from the very beginning that one day he would come and pay for the sins of the world. He is, as John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God, which cometh to take away the sins of the world. He's Jesus. And if you're saved tonight, today, it's because you found out who the Lord is. And I'm thankful I know who the Lord is. But he said, who are you, Lord? And then he asked this question, because Jesus, he answered and said, except a man be born again, in verse 3, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus' second question as he's searching is this, not only who are you, but what is born again? That's a good question. Now, if you've been in church, which I assume most of us in this auditorium have been a while, we know what being born again is. But, if you go out there, and the world, unfortunately, they're becoming more and more people that have never even heard of Jesus in this country. I mean, you go out now, and there's a whole generation being raised that is completely ignorant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, they even before, he grew up in my time, right? In the 80s and 90s, you go knock on doors, and people had a knowledge. They knew about Jesus. They knew about the cross. It was very limited, but they had at least an understanding of who he was. That's almost gone. And if you go to many of them and say, you must be born again, they're going to look at you the same way Nicodemus no doubt looked at the Lord. Born again. In his sarcastic response, he said, am I supposed to, as an old man, again enter into my mom's belly and be born again? You say, that was kind of sarcastic. It was. But at the same time, he's truly, what are you talking about? He's searching for answers. And the Lord answered, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You must be born of water, which all of you, check mark. We've all been born of water. That is your physical birth. You know, the water was broken, and you, just like my mom always said about me, discovered America, right? That physical birth. But there must also be a spiritual birth. We read about it this morning in Ephesians chapter number 3. You hath he quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins. We were made alive. We found life when we got saved. That was our spiritual being. That was the part of us that was dead. Because since Adam, we all men die. We were born into this world spiritually. Physically, we were alive. Spiritually, we were dead. And we must be born again. And Nicodemus' third question that he refers to is, how can this be? How has someone born again? Verse number 9, Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Now, if you're saved today, all right, it's just a way to praise the Lord. Why don't you lift your hand and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen? Isn't it great to be saved? Aren't you glad, Brother Davis, you know you're going to heaven? That's awesome, isn't it? Let's praise the Lord for that. Amen? You ought to be excited about that. Amen? You ought to be thrilled, you know, to know that I'm on my way to heaven. What a blessed knowledge to have in your life. How can these things be? How can someone be born again? Well, the Lord had already been teaching it that we have to know who Jesus is. Listen to me. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Make no mistake, Jesus is the only way to heaven. We knocked on a door in visitation, Hope, and I myself and Caleb was with us, and there was all these things on the front door on Wednesday night, and I forget which one of them said it. He said, what is that stuff? And this man was a Buddhist. And, you know, and I told them after we talked to the man and we were able to leave him a track, praise the Lord for that, but he took it, I was glad for that. But as we were walking away, I just told both of them, I said, it's so sad, so many people think that they're going to find their own path to heaven. But there's only one path to heaven. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we must be born again. Our spirit must be made alive. How can that be? Well, I am the way, the truth, and what?
Life.
He brings us life. You see, we have to understand who Jesus is, that he is God, he is the creator, but he also is the sacrifice for my sins. You say, well, I know all these things. Well, that's why you ought to be excited about it. I probably wouldn't have to preach as much if you were all just like, yes, praise the Lord. But every time we mention it, you're like, well, that's kind of cool, I guess. You know, yeah, right? You ought to be excited about it, amen? That he is our Savior. He is the way, and praise God, we know we're going to heaven. And the moment that we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, he took a dead spiritual Travis Burke and made him alive. I was born again, a brand new life. When a child is born, you hold that child, and my wife always sniffs. She smells every new baby, right? She loves new baby smell, right? If they had it in a car freshener, it'd be hanging in our car, right? But she, you know, but you hold that baby and you look at such innocence. What past does that baby have? None. It only has a future. And the day you get saved, your past is gone. Isn't that awesome? Everything is behind us, and all we have is a future with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're born again. We have to know who Jesus is, and we must, how does that transaction take place? We must know who he is. We must know that we're a sinner. We must know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've sinned, you've sinned. And we must know because of our sin, we deserve one thing. That's death and hell. That second death. You say, well, I'm a good person. Even the best of works that we could possibly put forward compared to the holiness of God, which is required for heaven, is filthy rags. That's the best we've got. But the moment you believe that I'm a sinner, I hate my sin. We repent of our sin, and we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that he died for me. And Lord, I believe this, and I want Christ to save my soul. They that come to him, he will in no wise cast out. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Nicodemus said, how can these things be? It's a miracle, but it's because God said he would. And may God be true. Now, where did all these questions come from? I mean, why is Nicodemus talking about all this stuff? Put a marker right there, but go back to Matthew chapter number 3. Matthew chapter number 3. In Matthew chapter number 3, in verse number 1, it says, in those days came John. Now, this is before John 3. But in those case, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Praise God, people were getting saved. John the Baptist was out there preaching in the wilderness, and everybody from the cities was coming out, hearing him preach, repenting of their sins, and getting baptized, and praise the Lord. Great things were happening. Verse number 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism from Jerusalem and Judea, which, you compare these scriptures, personally, I think if he wasn't there, he got a firsthand report, but I kind of lean that he was there. Who else was a Pharisee that we've studied today? Not a difficult question. Nicodemus, right? Who was in Jerusalem. Something I think, my personal thought on this, is that he was standing out there listening to all this. But either way, the Pharisees are there, without a doubt. It says, he said unto them, O generation of what? And interesting what God brought up as an illustration. Right? I thought that was interesting. Right? Me and Brother Fountain did. All right, anyways, right? Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, and now he attacks the core belief of these Pharisees, we have Abraham to our father. You know, I'm a Jew. I'll be all right. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance. He that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff and with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee. Now, he speaks to them, and he's preaching to them, and these Pharisees are listening to this, and I believe that John's sermon here set the stage for Nicodemus setting up a secret meeting with the Lord. And I think his sermon's really important. What he preached, well, I want you to look at real quick. What was he preaching about? By the way, in verse number 2, repent ye, for the what? Kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus, his first response to Nicodemus is, if you're going to enter the kingdom of God, ye must what? You see how the Lord keeps referring to John's message and what he said to Nicodemus, right? Well, what ought he preach on? Real quick, I think it's something that we need to continually preach. He preached on the purity of God in verse number 10. Now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees, whereby every tree bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down. and cast into the fire. We already mentioned, by their fruits ye shall know them. And John is preaching a very hard sermon here. And he says this, you must bring fruits of repentance. You're not just going to come down here and get baptized. You have to first be saved. Amen. The waters of baptism are reserved for those who have already put their faith in Jesus Christ. Those waters do not save a person. They are merely a testimony of what we have put our faith in, the Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. But he said, if there is no fruit, what do you do to an apple tree if you're have orchards and this apple tree does not bear any fruit? What do you do with these trees that you're trying to get figs from? And the Lord one time came to a fig tree that wasn't producing any figs. What do you do with these trees that do not produce fruit? They're cut down. They're cast into the fire. My friend, I love you enough to tell you this, that if you do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if there's never the repentance in your life, there is a judgment to come. Those who have not received the Lord Jesus Christ will one day find themselves in an eternal lake of fire, which is not God's will for your life. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus died for the sins of the world. Don't neglect so great a salvation. But he preached purity, that there must be these fruits of repentance and holiness. Verse number 11, he preached the preeminence of God. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I. Can I tell you something we need to keep on preaching? Is that there's no other like the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's easy to sit in church and amen that, but how we live shows what we really believe. A lot of people point, you know, say, you know, you're always preaching on standards. I don't really preach on standards that much, an occasional, but I do preach the holiness of God. And the holiness of God is an easy issue if all you want is the God to have the preeminence in your life. Then it's an easy issue. There's all kinds of things people like to debate. Can you wear this? Can you do this? Can you go to this place? Should you listen to this? It's really simple, really, when you get down to it. If you just want God to have first place in your life, and you just want God to be glorified, why would I want to mess with the things that might not? It's a preeminence issue. It's a preeminence issue when it comes to, you know, church on Thursday night. It's a preeminence issue. Amen. If we read our Bible this week, that's a preeminence issue. John said, there's one coming after me that's mightier than I. He would go on to say, he must increase, but I must decrease. There's none greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul would put it this way, that in all things he might have the what? Preeminence. He preached the power of God in this sermon. In verse number 11, he says that he shall baptize you with Holy Ghost and with fire. Listen to me real quick. The Holy Ghost never did any baptism, never has, never will. The Holy Ghost baptism. The Holy Ghost didn't baptize anybody. Jesus baptized with the Holy Ghost. Just like if someone gets saved and want to get baptized, I will baptize with the water. Jesus baptized with the Holy Ghost. Anyways, I'll just go on, right? Yeah, but all right. But what he's talking about was that power that was given. Praise the Lord, the moment you got saved, you received the Holy Ghost. And you have that power. There's something we forget too many times, and these Pharisees need to understand it, that they weren't the ones that had the power. The Lord Jesus Christ is the all-powerful God. By the way, it does us good to remind ourselves of that too. He's in charge, and he can do all things. Praise the Lord for that. He preached this purging in verse number 12. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. God is a just God. And he will chasten his children. And someday there will be a purging. He's going to refer to wheat and the chaff here. There's a lot of people that can sit in church and act like they're saved, and a lot of people who could put on a show. And you may be able to fool the people around you, but you will never fool God. He knows your heart today. And what a shame it would be to sit in church week after week after week and die and go to hell. Because your pride. There will be a purging. There will be a judgment one day. It is coming. Every person will one day stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that are saved will stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll be judged not whether we're saved or not. That was settled at the cross on the day we accepted that. But we will be judged according to what we have done with what God has given to us. And it's a matter of rewards. And a matter of loss. Those who are not saved will too stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at what's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And to be a completely fair and just God, every man will see, and I believe will know every moment that God gave them to be saved. We passed out a lot of tracts this week. On Wednesday visitation yesterday, we passed out a lot of gospel tracts with our Kids Crusade flyers on it, and I mean hundreds. A lot of people held that in their hand. I hope all of them get saved, but the reality is many will not. But they'll know they had it in their hand. If you're sitting in this auditorium this morning and someday you die without having received Jesus Christ, you will remember this service. I don't say it in pride or to twist your arm. It's just a fact. He's a completely fair God, and He wants you to be saved today. Anyone who dies and goes to hell is because they chose to reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. There is a judgment. But He also preaches peace. It says there in His hand, in verse number 12, He will thoroughly purge His floor and gather His wheat into the garner. That's the granary. When the wheat is taken up, it's put there for safety, for protection. I thank God that someday the Lord's coming back and all of us who are saved will be gathered unto Him, forever safe with the Lord. What a day that will be, amen? When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He becomes your refuge, your bulwark, your shield, your sun, as I read this morning. The righteous runneth into Him and are safe. I'm thankful for the peace of God that He brings to all those who trust in Him. But if you're not saved today, understand, and John continues to preach about punishment. He will thoroughly purge His floor, verse 12, and gather His wheat into the garner, but He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. All those who are, again, chaff and wheat, I think you all understand, they look a lot alike. Chaff and wheat, if just from the untrained eye, I probably couldn't tell the difference, and most of you probably couldn't either. And it's possible to put on a good show. It's possible someone like myself, and the only thing I've ever known is church, and I did this for 14 years to do what you're supposed to do in church. I knew how to be good. Not that I was all the time. But I knew how to do it. I knew how to open my songbook. I knew how to find, I could probably beat most of the people in our auditorium to the passage of Scripture. I kind of found joy in that, my carnality. The preacher would say the passage, and I'd try to get there and then look around, make sure I beat my mom and my sister. Yeah. I kind of still do that at times, I have to admit, you know. I'll be sitting there, I'll turn there, look at my wife. She's still trying to find it. You know, I knew that I could. I even won an award one time for saying the books of the Bible quickest backwards. I gave offerings, I gave tithes. My parents taught me to do it, made me do it. Thankful for that. But for 14 years, I was chaff. I wasn't real. I knew how to sit in church. But if God would have came back, and I knew that. Just a few months before I got saved, I woke up one morning, and the house was empty. I'm just telling you the truth. And I got scared. I thought about the rapture. What I didn't know is my family had run to church real quick to practice a song, a choir song. I knew, but it wasn't real in my life. So why didn't you get saved? I don't know. I wish I knew that answer. Pride. All I know is this, that I'm very thankful for the day that I did accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as a really good kid who knew how to behave, who had won awards for Bible drills and memory scripture and all this other stuff, I was lost. And I would have went to hell. And I hope no one's in here like that. Because one day, the chaff will be separated. God knows, and burnt with unquenchable fire. Do you hear me on that? Hell is eternal, and the flames of hell are real, and they never end. Unquenchable, there is a punishment coming. But as he preaches these things, I think it's also important that we note before we go back to John 3, that there was the presence of God in verse number 13. After he preaches this, then cometh Jesus. Aren't you thankful for the presence of the Lord? I'm thankful he's with us now, and I'm thankful that someday we'll be with him for all of eternity. When I read these things, and I read his sermon, and I read his words, and I read what he said, and then I go back to John chapter number 3, and I see Nicodemus, a Pharisee from Jerusalem. When I see that he knows a lot about God and knows a lot and has obviously heard about Jesus, he's heard about the miracles, and the first thing Jesus mentioned is the kingdom of God. He uses the serpent as an illustration in showing this. And we saw the searching of Nicodemus, and then we just talked about the sermon to Nicodemus. But I end with this very quickly, and we'll pray the solution for Nicodemus. Is in John chapter 3, verse number 13. What is the solution? It says, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Say, "Preacher, what do I have to do to go to hell?" Nothing. You're already living under condemnation. But here's the wonderful and blessed news of the Lord to Nicodemus that night, and to us 2,000 years later: no one has to go to hell. Jesus died for your sins. And if you will today receive him as your Savior, you no longer will live under condemnation. I say, "Well, I'll just kind of put it off." There is a judgment coming. And I say this as someone who studied the Word of God for a long time. It could be today that the Lord returns. And your opportunity to be saved, everyone in this auditorium, would be done today. If you've never received Christ, do so today. Call upon him. If you are saved, praise him today for what he's done for you. And it might be that you just need a reminder today from John that God expects us to live a pure life and to bear good fruit. And that God needs to have the preeminence in our life. And that he's an all-powerful God that can do whatever he can. That he has given us peace. And that we will stand before him one day. Different terms, but we will stand before him one day.